You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Calling all video game, toy, and comic vendors. Saturday, May 30th at the Superkick Columbus Indoor Soccer Arena in Lewis Center, Ohio, comes the 2020 Torg Gaming Expo. The Torg Gaming Expo will offer a wide variety of comics, toys, video games, as well as door prizes, art, arcades, special guest panels, and video game tournaments. The Expo will be hosting the Classic Tetris World Championship Midwest Qualifier during this event. Finalists will win a trip to Oregon for the finals and a cash grand prize. For vendors who would like to attend the Expo, don't miss the Early Bird Special, where you get an 8-foot table for $40 until February 1st. Want to be involved with the Expo but don't want a table? Become a sponsor. Multiple spots are available and will be advertised to attendees, but act fast because spots are limited. The 2020 Torg Gaming Expo, presented by the Canned Air Podcast. For more details or to sign up as a vendor or sponsor, go to torgevents.com.
I am the terror that flaps in the night. I am the bug that splatters across the windshield of crime. I am Darkwing Duck, and I'm listening to the Canned Air Podcast. How about you?
And welcome to another episode of Canned Air, your tribute to comics and pop culture. I am Jeremy Colley.
And I am Jack Doherty.
And I'm Randy Hardenbrook.
And returning to the show this week from Midnight27Studios.com, we welcome Adam Fields back to the show. Adam, thank you so much for being back with us.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Got a good show lined up for you today in the Retro Roundtable. Reboots and sequels. What was the inspiration for this, Randy?
Just with The Mandalorian and then the Charlie's Angel sequel that or reboot that bombed.
Mandalorian how?
Oh, just the spinoff sequel of sorts to...
I'll give it to you.
It could be a sequel. I mean, it could come... Yeah. Loose.
Yeah. Okay, so the Charlie's Angels.
Jinx. When is that release? Is it soon?
It already did.
What?
It just came out. They didn't talk about it at all. It just showed up one day.
Petered out really quick.
Oh, yeah. Only made like 8 million over the weekend or something.
Laughable. We'll make something positive happen from Charlie's Angels by talking reboots and sequels. Then we're going to turn our attention over to Adam and talk more about what he's been up to since he was here on episode 303. So it hadn't been, 21 episodes ago. All right, but before we do that, don't forget to find us on Twitter at Canned Air Pod and on Instagram at @canned_air. And if you want to support the show and get access to our Canned Air Patreon pod, all you have to do is go to patreon.com/CannedAirPod, and for $5 a month, you get that access. And we were just talking before we started recording here, you know, after the first of the year, the Patreon page has some big changes coming. The tiers are going to be reworked. There's going to be a lot more content on there, more bang for the buck, I guess, is what we're going for. And just a cleaner appearance. It's stale. That is so dated, our Patreon page. We need to update it. But just got to find the time, I guess, right?
Yeah.
What else we got, guys? Wizard?
Well, this weekend after Thanksgiving is their last show of the year.
Oh, okay.
In Bay Area.
Okay. So this is one last chance in 2019 for our listeners to take advantage of Canned Air in the promo box at checkout at wizardworld.com.
That's it.
There it is. Don't let this one get past you, people.
Yeah.
You Bay Area people. Go ahead, Randy.
If you guys are into video games, check out our boy Jack. He's doing some streaming on our Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
So
Jedi Fallen Order that just came out a couple weeks ago.
Canned Air's current.
Mm-hmm.
Let's kick it off with this week's Retro Roundtable.
And here we go.
I'll be back. All right. Reboots and sequels. Where do we start, gentlemen? Who wants to go first?
I'll go first with one.
Go first with one.
I guess there was four sequels, not really a reboot. I guess they did kind of reboot a little bit, but I don't think it ever worked very well. Indiana Jones.
Okay. You mean the trilogy is pretty much untouchable, but like,
well, there's
anything
a
that came after
trilogy, isn't it? There's four of them? Five of them?
There's four of them.
Four.
Yeah, Kingdom we won't talk about Crystal Skulls, though.
Yeah, well, see, that's why I thought you brought it up.
No.
Okay.
Sequel, I would say, would be the Temple of Doom. That was...
Oh, yeah. Well, the original ones are awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are fun movies.
Then they had the, I don't know, it was a prequel or whatever, the Young Indiana Jones they did for a little bit.
Who was that? That was Baby Goose, right? Ryan Gosling? Or no, that was Young Hercules. Excuse me.
Yeah, I don't know who did the young one. I know that in the second movie, or no, third movie, the one with Sean Connery.
Yeah, the intro.
That was...
I feel like it was a name, like a...
River Phoenix played young Indy.
Yeah.
But that's who it was, River Phoenix?
Well, in the movie. Yeah.
I see. But
I don't know who it was. I know there was a show, right? I'm
yeah.
Yeah. Was,
okay.
Yeah. Yeah, you're good.
Maybe I dreamed it.
Well, we have the same dream, if so, man. Yeah, well,
nice.
Sean Patrick Flannery? Does that sound right?
Oh, okay.
Yes, cool. The Young Indiana Jones Chronicles. Three seasons there were in 1992.
Never did watch it. I don't know if it was the channel that I just didn't watch.
If it was good, you would have surely heard buzz, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
I mean, that's how you have to gauge most shows, right?
Yep. But yeah, good old Indy.
Okay.
Always loved Temple of Doom. That's my favorite. I liked the first one. It was a little slower, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But Temple of Doom is always...
That face-melting scene cannot be beat.
Nope, never.
Can't be beat. Adam, what about you, sir?
All right, so I'm going to start off with a blast from my childhood of a reboot. I'm going to go with Power Rangers.
Ooh, okay. Now, are you talking the movie that just came out a few years back?
Yeah, the most recent movie. A lot of people didn't like it. I actually enjoyed it.
See, I'm right there with you. I thought it was great. Like, I don't know how you could have done any better, honestly, with your source material being what it was.
Yeah.
The only complaint that I heard was there wasn't enough Ranger. And I said, well, you got to build up to it. You know, you can't just throw them in because, let's face it, the TV show, it was as amazing as it was for the time. It was very, very cheesy and corny, which I think it was supposed to be. Sure. But this movie, they did a really good at leading up and making you build the character dynamic and then team them up. Yeah. The only complaint I had was there wasn't enough Zord action.
No,
definitely not. And I wasn't big on the way their Megazord looked.
No,
either.
No. Yeah.
But
no.
I'll tell you what, I got freaking chills when they did the Go-Go Power Rangers on the Zord. Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So that one's probably one of my all-time favorite reboots.
I would have to agree. I thought the cast was all well picked.
Yeah.
I thought they all played their parts very well. I loved Bryan Cranston as Zordon. I like how they explained the command center being underground and stuff. And
I even enjoyed Alpha 5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Bill Hader's awesome.
Yeah.
Because even as a kid, I was like, how has no one found this command center? It's like out in the middle of nowhere and it just looks so weird. Like, how's no one found this thing? Because there have been instances in the show where you, like, in desperate moments, see them, like, walking this desert plane to or from the command center. So it's not like it's on some astral plane. It's, like, there, on the outskirts.
It's got a huge chimney that anybody could access. So,
I wonder how many of our childhood shows would be ruined now that Google Earth is a thing. Like, what's this track? Yeah. These tracks going to Bruce Wayne's pad.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
Or Fitbits. I mean, Fitbits, anyone wears those, it tracks where you're walking.
Yeah,
so
right.
Bruce Wayne, that'd be horrible for Batman.
Busted. Yeah.
Yep.
Right. Oh, Randy, what do you got?
So I'm going to do the opposite of what Adam just did. I'm going to go from a movie to a TV series.
Okay.
Daredevil. The Netflix series.
What would you call that? A reboot?
I would have to call that a reboot.
Mm-hmm. I would say so.
I'd definitely say so.
But
for the better,
and a good pick at that.
I just remember, like, I still kind of like the original movie, but when I saw Netflix was releasing that, I was like, okay, I'll check it out. And I got my wife to watch it, and we literally sat down at like 10 o'clock at night, and we're like, oh, we'll watch one episode. We ended up watching like 4 to like 3 in the morning. Mm-hmm. And for us to do that, it's just unheard of.
So good.
But yeah. Man.
Yeah. Amazing. And I loved in that last season how he went back to the black outfit, you know, instead of just wearing the polished thing. Like, it made it so much cooler. But yeah, I get chills watching or thinking about that show. Yeah. That last scene in the last season with Wilson Fisk up in the penthouse is so good. It's
such a good series.
So good. All right. Let's see, what do I got here? Let's talk about probably the most important reboot to ever happen and kind of set a standard that's still looked at today, the Dark Knight trilogies. I mean, how important was that? I mean, before that, Batman in cinema was almost laughable, you know. Keaton's Batman was like, okay, that one's cool, but the other ones are kind of, you know, as they go they get stupid.
After that they started getting corny and
And that's all there was. And it looked like Batman in cinema is just something you don't do.
Right.
Or, you know, mediocre at best. But, man.
You can't just take it out of a comic book and put it on screen because it doesn't work. And even though it's cool. You have
to adapt it somehow. Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, they did it so well that all the Batman stuff that's come since is always held up to it. You know, it's the definitive reboot.
Yeah.
In my opinion. Anyway. We are back. To Jack.
We doing our favorites or we can do some worst ones?
Anything.
Reboot for bad one, I would say, would be from cartoon to movie, G.I. Joe.
Oh.
The reboot of G.I. Joe or?
Yeah, well, I guess.
Oh, you're saying, I'm sorry, you said from cartoon. I thought you were talking about the cartoon movie.
The live action
movie. Gotcha.
Horrible. Cobra just does not work on screen. They really gotta. I don't know what they can do to make it better.
Yeah.
Or more.
Those characters are far too eccentric to be brought into the real world.
Luckily, the G.I. Joe characters weren't too eccentric like they are on the show. I mean, I guess they all had their own specialty, but. Just the whole way Cobra is, I guess, just this, I don't know, terrorist group that just shows up in the States, which it wouldn't work.
It would have been a better movie if they took the freaking love triangle aspect out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good way to ruin any movie, in my opinion. Yeah.
But at least they kind of fixed it a little bit in the second one when they killed all the Joes.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, I guess.
Wow.
And brought The Rock in. He worked good for Roadblock, I think.
It was already spoiled when you brought The Rock in, right?
Yeah.
You're not getting Oscar material with The Rock, are we?
I don't know.
He wasn't. Rundown wasn't bad.
Yeah, it
was Rundown is nothing close to Oscar material, Randy. What are you talking about?
So I have some lower standards, okay?
I guess so.
We'll see when he does Black Adam.
Yep.
Again, not pulling an Oscar. I don't know what I'd like to see him do.
Wrestle.
Touche, Adam. Touche. All right, we're back to you.
All right, I'm going to pull out the big guns. Godzilla.
Ooh, nice.
Those are some big guns.
Especially with this latest movie, and it's got me amped for Kong, like, versus Zilla. I mean, that's going to be huge.
Yeah.
So how was this newest film? I take it you enjoyed it.
It was beautiful. It had the perfect amount of people and monster fights. And it was about 80% monster fights, 20% people. And that's the way it should be.
Yeah. Not a lot of up close monster in nighttime rain.
No, nice. you see these things in broad daylight. You see them lit up and illuminated, and they completely stilled the show. My wife, she never watched a Godzilla thing in her life, so we decided to take our 6-year-old and us to the theater. And she was asking me how are they supposed to give monsters personality. Well, she goes, I loved Mothra. That was my favorite character. And she saw the monsters as characters.
Huh,
so, nice. Yeah, and they did an amazing job with, like, Ghidorah because they gave each head a personality. Like, you know exactly who's the alpha. You know which one's the stupid head. I mean, it's amazing. So, yeah, they did an amazing job. Doherty did a great job with the reboot of this.
I'm so glad the U.S. redeemed themselves and with the Godzilla franchise.
Track record hasn't been too good lately.
Right. I want to see it, but like every time you see the trailer for it, it's just like a over-the-shoulder side shot of Millie Bobby Brown over and over, and it's just like enough to make me want to like jab my eyes out with forks. So
I mean, they play a key role in it because they, you know, they obviously have to mesh them somehow, but the story is primarily about the monsters and who is to rise above. So, and then if you do watch it, you definitely want to pause the credit scenes and read all these little newspaper clippings because it sets up future movies. So,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Easter eggs.
A ton of them.
Gotta love that.
Mm-hmm. Well, they'll finish off Kong and Godzilla. I mean, one of them ends up winning, you end up feeling bad at the end.
I think it's like Stan Lee said, you never have a definitive winner. You know, something's got to come between them. Something's got to interrupt it to keep the debate going. They'll never truly answer that question, right?
No.
Well, they might end it the same way they did the original Japanese Godzilla versus King Kong, which they just both fall into the ocean and you don't really have a clear winner.
Yeah, that's how they need to do it.
That's how it'll be done. That's the formula. I mean,
remember, I don't know which Godzilla it was, but they ended up killing Godzilla at the end because they dropped him in or knocked him into a volcano, and it was horrific for me when I was little. I don't know which one it was, though.
That's a shame. Man.
Oh, man.
You remember that one, Randy?
I've seen all of them. I'm trying to remember pondering. Which one it is.
Take us back, Randy.
He's got killed a few times. So it had to be probably one of the originals.
Probably.
Was it black and white?
Well, it might have been because they had that great technology where they learned to color black and white movies.
I can't remember off the top of my head, man. I'm failing as a Godzilla
fan.
So
where they
fan.
Actually like sit there with each little frame and color it with a colored pencil or something. That'd be crazy, wouldn't it? Oh, man.
Never want the same pasty white color.
That was Adam's pick.
Yep.
All right, Randy, you're next.
So I'm going to go a little off the reservation on this one, but a childhood movie that I'm really hoping, I don't think it's on Disney Plus yet, but the live action Jungle Book.
Ooh,
from 94.
Oh yeah.
Oh, from 94.
Yeah. So
I thought you meant the newer one.
No,
okay.
I forgot they even redid that one.
Yeah, they redid this one back. I think it was 94, but they called it Rudyard Kipling's Jungle Book. But it was live action. It had all trained animals. Like, nothing was CG in it.
Really?
It starred Jason Scott Lee, who played Bruce Lee in, I think, the Return of the Dragon documentary.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not related to him at all, but they also had Cary Elwes.
Ellis?
The chick that plays Cersei from Game of Thrones, Sam Neill, John Cleese. It actually had quite a few really good actors in it. So
the animals just talk kind of like Garfield?
No, it was more like Mowgli just kind of understood them. They made like animal noises and he would kind of narrate what they were saying or talk back to him like he understood.
Just like how you talk to a dog right now.
Yeah, more or less, yeah. But they're like growl or bark or whatever back. And it was actually really good. There was a scene where he fights the snake right off the bat, and it was really intense. I remember watching as a kid. So here's hoping that Disney puts that on there.
It was an actual Disney release?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to investigate this. Sounds intriguing.
Yeah, it was good.
All right. When we were riffing movies, you know, with Jake, there was a royalty-free version of Jungle Book online that I thought we would rip on. But I don't know. I found the movies we chose had much easier potential to make fun of. But anyway, how about I bring them up in every category I can? Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Mm.
Yes.
I don't think a reboot has been done that will beat that first movie. I mean,
No. None.
Nothing. And I've heard that they're talking about another reboot yet.
They are? Mm-hmm.
To the rubber suits?
Oh, yeah. I believe they're going to be moving that direction because the CGI was so horribly received.
Yeah. It looked bad.
It did. I accepted it after a while. I mean, Maybe because I had to.
Yeah, you don't have a choice, but yeah. I don't know.
But still going back to the old ones, like the NECAs you got right there.
Yeah.
That's them.
Yeah, that's definitely them. And if I hope they could replicate that look. Mm-hmm. I don't know, because even by the second movie, they still looked good, but they looked different.
Yeah,
they did not look the same as the first movie, and they never looked as good as that first film ever again.
They looked too friendly.
Yeah.
The only jarring thing was that their mouth movement wasn't perfect, but I'm sure they would just over CG that a little bit to make them look.
Yeah, nowadays it could easily be fixed. And, you know, like we talked about with Jurassic Park and that T-Rex, you know, it's as practical as it can be. Use the CG to fill in the cracks,
right?
You know, and if that's what they do here, if along with a good story, that'd be awesome.
Just don't get the guy that did Superman's mouth.
Oh,
seriously. That guy, he must never work again.
No. I mean, that's a daunting task. I don't know if
a
CG artist alive who would have been able to pull that off. Because think about that. You're not, it's not like a quick blemish. You're creating half of somebody's whole face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
To pass it as, that's a daunting task. And I want to, I remember going into it because I did not watch that one in the theater. I saw that one on like Netflix or whatever it came.
Yeah, I didn't see it in the theater either.
No.
And I hadn't heard all the hype about that.
I had heard, like, I saw pictures of like a mouth on other things, but I didn't get what it was.
Yes, I had seen like that on Thanos or something.
Yeah, that's what it was.
I remember they had done that, but I didn't get what it was about and completely forgot. And just as soon as that scene started, it was like, okay, Superman, look, what the fuck's up with that mouth? You know, and that's, you just stare at it.
I remember watching it at my mom's on Christmas morning, and my sister's like, Superman's mouth look weird. And I was just like,
all because of a mustache that could have easily been put back on if it got shaved off.
I know,
but Hollywood,
it's a strange thing.
Yeah,
it's Cesar Romero, that motherfucker. I mean, you can't tell me you wouldn't be able to just CG the mustache away.
I was just gonna say that too. Yeah,
rather than reconstruct so the easier. Whole jaw.
Yeah.
I mean, we saw what the mustache ended up being, right? Mm-hmm. In Mission Impossible. It's not like it was super intrusive. It wasn't a fucking Tom Selleck. Right. You know? I mean, it was manageable, I thought.
I was just going to say, there's been storylines where Superman has a mustache, right? Like,
I think so. I mean, it would be disturbing at this point. I mean, him to come back from the dead with a mustache would be a little fucking weird. Introduce more questions, I think. But
we don't know what his species does when they die. We don't know.
Maybe he was just hibernating and he was in a coma. Yeah.
They're dead, but they grow hair
on their lip.
His casket just busts open with hair. Oh my god, that was funny. Anyway, that was me? Was my pick TMNT, right?
Yes.
Or did we?
Yeah, no, you did mine. So it's back to
Jackery, yes.
One of the other best sequels, the best trilogy, Back to the Future.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know which one of those sequels is better than the first. They're all pretty much about equal, I think. Maybe the third one's not.
The third one's probably the least.
Yeah.
Two is my favorite. I think
two is more of my favorite just because of the whole going back to the past
and
running past himself. Just how they recreated everything.
Yeah.
I still don't understand how they did it.
It's all. A movie that went into another movie that you'd already seen. It was cool, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. There were scenes that you could see how they did it. But they just. Like when he's sneaking around the car, like they obviously just took the scene and just made it a little smaller and framed it in that car window. But there are other times that you're just
like in the dance. That's one of them. Just the way when he's up on stage. I mean, maybe they could have just had someone, but I don't know. It just seemed too exactly the same with him in it.
I wonder how much of that was pre-planned too. Like, okay, we need to do these shots from this angle for the next movie or something like that.
You know what? That's true. They could have just done it from a different angle, just keep recording because they knew something was up.
There are people, and I've seen on social media, who have taken the shots from the first movie and the second movie and held them up next to each other. And it's funny because, you know, you say it looks spot on. Your memory thinks like, God damn, that's perfect. That's how do they do that? But when you see them up next to each other, it's like a world of difference.
Really?
Yeah. Especially, I mean, the only things I saw, though, were like the pictures of, you know, the difference. Elizabeth Shue and who was the other girl?
I don't remember her name, but the girl.
She
girlfriend.
Was at Wizard this year, wasn't she? Anyway, yeah, Michael J. Fox definitely looks different. The whole scene looks different. Mm. But when you watch it that second time around, it's like, wow, they just kind of interjected her in there, didn't they? You know? It's funny how your mind works.
That's like that. What's it called where you remember something being a certain way, but it was never that way at all?
Mandela Effect?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like the end of the first one when it says, you know, what's it say at the end that we'll be back? Watch for the second one.
I just thought it said to be continued.
Or, yeah, to be continued. That's what it is. That never showed up. That was done later on once they released it on
video. Yeah.
But everyone remembers seeing it in the theater.
Isn't that crazy?
No, but it never happened.
You know, when the Mandela Effect first started trending, and I think the Bernstein...
Yeah.
Yep. Stain, Bears. Excuse me. Bears came out. Like, I was right on board. Mm-hmm. I was like, these people are fucked. I've got the merch. It had me in the basement digging. And I think... I don't think it's up there anymore, but I did it. I have a little Happy Meal toy. It was the only thing I could find. It's like, well, surely in the foot of this thing will be a stamp saying, oh my God, I was wrong all these years. It's definitely Stain. But yeah, it's weird how that happens.
Yeah.
All right. That was who? That was Jack's pick?
Yep.
We are back to Adam.
All right. So one of my all-time favorite characters, and he has a huge rogues gallery, is Spider-Man. They just can't seem to get right.
It's funny with Spider-Man, like with every incarnation, they seem to get aspects right.
Aspects, yes.
Yeah, there's always some part that is, but then...
Like the Tobey Maguire nailed the Peter Parker.
Yep.
The Andrew Garfield nailed the Spider-Man, mm-hmm. I thought, pretty well. Let's see, what else?
Jonah Jameson has been nailed.
Yeah, he was nailed very, very well.
He is probably one of my favorite parts of... all the movies, because he's just spot on, and he just has that anger. I really like Tom Holland as Spider-Man. I really like the playfulness of him.
I do too. And you know, again, I understand why they had to do everything with the, you know, licensing and rights holders and timelines, yada yada yada. But it doesn't feel like Spider-Man to me quite yet. I think this next movie's going to, because by the end of Far From Home, they had dropped him in his perfect setting, in the middle of New York. And I was like, okay, this is where shit's going to start to really get good for me.
It's not going to be Iron Man light anymore.
He's losing all the tech and just the Spider-Man.
All the Avengers stuff and Iron Man put behind. Let's get to Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man shit. That's what I want to see. Yeah.
And they've already set it up perfectly for Sinister Six.
Yeah.
Yes. So.
Have you heard anything? Is that what they're going for next?
My gut says so, because you've got Vulture. They've introduced Scorpion. Kraven the Hunter is supposed to be making some sort of debut. Mysterio, who I feel isn't dead.
Chameleon in there.
Yeah, he had Chameleon, who a lot of people kind of overlooked him. And then the Tinkerer is still out there. Shocker is still out there. That tower, I want to say that there's two theories. One is that's the Fantastic Four's tower, or the other is Osborn or Oscorp. So, you know, they've set it up beautifully to introduce all his main villains. So,
it'd be amazing, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Sinister Six.
And a quick little plug for our Patreon. We did a whole episode on Spider-Man on
Patreon. Yeah, we did.
Yeah, and we talked about a lot of that stuff too. So it's
that was a fun episode.
And it was right before Far From Home came out, so we did a lot of speculation and we nailed some of that stuff.
Yeah, we did.
So.
Yeah. And the thing with Mysterio too is, you know, other people have worn that mantle, so it wouldn't have to be necessarily Quentin Beck surviving. You know, anybody could bring it back.
Exactly.
So, Yeah, I'm excited. I wonder if they'll stick with the home trope in the next title. You know, it's been Homecoming, Far From Home. Do you think they'll do it again?
Yeah, I want to say like home run or something silly. I don't know. Or
it's better than anything I was going to say.
I couldn't even think.
You know, coming home again. I don't know. Home Alone, something. Yeah.
Spider-Man, Homeward Bound.
Home on the Range. Who knows?
Keep them coming, guys.
Yeah.
Randy Cern.
Randy.
So, you guys remember the old, I don't know if you've seen it, movie Spartacus? Yes, I am Spartacus. No, I'm Spartacus. No?
I don't think I've ever seen it, but I've seen parts of it.
Okay. Well, they redid, I don't know if it was Netflix that did it, but it was on Netflix a while. They made a TV show out of it. Recast.
I heard it was good.
It was really good. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely, it was Game of Thrones before Game of Thrones. Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of nudity, a lot of gore, but damn it if it wasn't good watching. I think there was, I want to say like 3 seasons and a spinoff, but if it's still on Netflix, it's definitely binge worthy.
Was it HBO?
It might have been. I saw it on Netflix. Mm. But the first season, the actor that played the title role got cancer and died.
Ooh.
So that's when they did the spinoff, and then they one of his friends, I think, came and did the second and third season. But it's really good.
Hmm.
Spartacus.
Yeah, I've never watched that. I don't know if I even heard of it, to be honest with you.
It's worth watching, man.
Hmm. Very noted. Noted.
Like we don't have enough to binge right now.
Yeah,
yeah, that list keeps getting longer, doesn't it? How about Hellboy? Is what I'm going to bring to the table. Did you guys happen to see the newest Hellboy reboot?
Yes,
I have not, but it's actually pending for me to watch the next couple of days.
Oh wow! Okay, well I don't want to spoil anything then. But
no, go for it. I'm sure I've already seen it online.
I mean, there's nothing to even really spoil. I mean, there's definitely some gratifying moments of it, mm-hmm. like seeing, I think we saw it in the original ones, but his crown, you know, the little flame crown thing, that's always cool to see come to fruition. My only gripe with it was some of the special effects were just
there was some
really
jarring stuff,
really
yeah.
bad, like really bad, and it just it pulls you out of it so fast, you know.
That and the pacing of the story was way too quick. It was very rushed.
Yeah, and there were times where you'd think it was over and then it wasn't. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I've never read the comic. Now, which the original or the reboot? Which one was a closer kind of?
I mean, I can't even say I'm very knowledgeable in the comics either. But
no, I read a couple of them, but they don't really.
There's no correlation between anything?
No, I mean, he does kind of wisecrack and gripe, but he's not really ever around his dad or anything. He's always the stories I've read, he's off doing his own thing, kind of.
Okay.
But it was neat, kind of neat to find out that the newest Hellboy is a prequel to the first two.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Is that what it's supposed to be?
Yeah, because the scene at the end credit scene, you didn't catch that?
Just what, the team coming together, you mean?
Well, there's that a little bit, and then you see the...
Oh, the Abe Sapien thing, yeah.
Yeah, is when they find him.
I didn't take it as... I don't know, I didn't take it as such. I mean, it makes sense.
That's how it just... In timeline, the way it worked out, yeah. I guess, even though the team was totally different.
I enjoyed him, though, as Hellboy. What's his name? Dude from Stranger Things?
Hopper.
Hopper from Stranger Things.
It starts with an H, too.
Not Ron.
Nah. I don't remember his name, but he's really good.
I liked him.
Yeah, he looks good.
He looked more like the comic than Ron.
Mm.
Even though Ron looked pretty good as him, but I think the new guy looks better.
They look good for sure. Did you guys happen to see during Comic-Con weekend when we were walking down to the toy store from the convention center? Cosplayers, Hellboy came by.
One of you guys
chopper.
Pointed that out, but I heard the chopper go by.
He looked
and
so,
maybe saw out of my periphery, but didn't get a good look.
Fucking boss, man. Yeah, he looked awesome.
Yeah, I think I saw it originally, and
I think you did
quick enough, and then you and Misty were a little bit farther down.
Not quick enough for me to grab a camera. That would have been cool to get a pic, but I mean, I don't think any of us could have been that quick. No, you know,
we'd have had to known.
Yeah, yeah. Here he comes! Here he comes! Get ready!
Stop light, run!
All right. You guys have any more entries you want to drop really quick before we move on?
I hit my high points.
Mm-hmm. You got mine?
Got him in there. All right. Well, with that, let's turn our attention over to Adam and talk more, or just talk about what he's been up to since he was last on the show again, episode 303. Adam, what is new with you in Midnight 27 Studios, sir?
Man, there's been a lot of stuff that I've been working on. Been plugging away at Prowl 7, which is going to be releasing in January, about a month later than I wanted to, mainly because I got picked up for a couple short stories that I put before my own stuff. So those, they always take priority. Sure. One is a short zombie story, and then the other is that I did was, or am currently working on, is called Grimm. The author, Jennifer Reinfrey, she wrote a trilogy, and now we're adapting that to a graphic novel. They're going to be huge, huge graphic novels, so they're going to take a while to do.
And you're also doing some stuff on Along a Burning River, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did. I did. Basically, I just contributed a poster for that, and the Kickstarter was successfully funded, and I think that we unlocked 3 stretch goals.
Nice.
Yeah, so the poster was a huge hit, and it's probably one of my favorite pieces in my portfolio, which is the Loveland Frogman. So I got to draw frogs. It was awesome.
Yeah, I saw a picture of it on Facebook. It looked awesome, dude.
Thanks. Yeah, I love it. It's when they ask me, and I always ask, well, who would you like, or you know, any ideas of what you're looking for? And he says, just make it something obscure. Like, this has to be an Ohio-based myth. And so I scoured the internet and found the most obscured creature I could, because everyone's heard of Yetis, everyone's heard of Mothman, everyone's heard of, you know, Champy and all that. But I found the Loveland Frogman, and I'm like, that's it. That's where I'm going.
That's the only one I've ever heard of is Mothman. I don't know these other ones. Yeah,
I've never heard of this Frogman. Mm-hmm. So is he just like a man-sized frog? Is it that easy? Is he?
He's about 3 feet tall, and he has a magic power. So the coolest thing about the story and the accounts are, it was police officers that actually spotted this creature standing up on its hind legs, and it leaped back into the Miami River. So down in Loveland, Ohio, and this was back in the 70s.
Hmm.
And there's not that many accounts of it, so I think they killed it. But, but I mean, it was just really, really interesting, and I'd heard about it, and I thought drawing a gigantic frog would be awesome.
I immediately think of in South Park. Remember Lemmy Winks?
Yeah.
Happy Lemmy Winks!
The policeman saw it. It must be real.
Yeah. Yeah. There's all kinds of like podcasts, like lore podcasts, that talk about stuff like that. And it's funny, you know, how a whole town or community will take face value what 2 scrubs out drinking beer at night down a country road. We saw it. Must have been real.
It was there. I tell you.
Oh,
but yeah, so I've been working on little stuff like that, and I've been working on more Upper Deck cards. I'm working on I just wrapped up Far From Home, and I'm currently working on Endgame, and it's supposed to be due next week, and I'm not even halfway through, so I've got some work ahead of me.
When you say working on these, you're talking
they're sketch cards, so they release, you know, exclusive sets for, you know, collectors.
Yeah.
Scenes from movies, they maybe sometimes film strips, stuff, you know, exclusive stuff, autograph cards. But one of the things that they offer are these blank cards that we get to put art on, and they insert those in the pack. So you have like, I forget what the odds are that you get it, but you can get an original piece within your trading card pack.
That's really cool.
Are they
art? Yeah,
it's the actual art. Nice. It's not actually.
Yeah, you get the original piece. Yeah, not a print. You get the full thing. So I draw it, mail to them. You pull it. I mean, you can get on eBay and pull up some that I've done, which was wild for me to find the first time. And then what was really cool was I was at a show and a guy walked up. He goes, "Look what I just got!" And it was a Deadpool card that I had done. He actually had pulled it. Yep.
How many would you say you have out in circulation?
Over 400.
Over 400. Wow. And how often do you see them, or has it only been the few instances?
Yeah, just a few that I've seen them in the wild. People that have showed me that they've got, or they bought off eBay. But yeah, to me, I don't know where they go. I'll sometimes search Adam Field sketch cards just to, if I'm bored or something, and see, and there's different forms out there. There's too many out there to look at individually, but I'll find images of people that have pulled them and they've list because they're card collectors. So it's really cool. But one of the neatest things about these are Upper Deck sends us what they call artist proof cards. And they're essentially for artists to sell. So they pay us per card, but they also give us free cards for us to basically use as commission. So people order them off me and they have to go through a whole review process and approval and everything. So, but then they can get their favorite character directly from their favorite artist, and so they don't have to go buy pack after pack and with the chance that they're going to get something good.
There's someone else's art.
Yeah. And let me tell you, I've seen some stuff that I'm like, wow, that passed. Okay. As a collector, I would have been upset if I would have pulled something like that and spent, some of these packs can be a couple hundred dollars, and I would be upset if that's what I got. But
really?
Wow. Yeah. And I've submitted stuff that I'm not particularly proud of, but you know, it's kind of rushed and it's such a small surface area.
But, I can imagine. Sure. Yeah. Sure. I can only imagine some of the wonky eyed things that probably got passed through there. Like,
yeah, I've got 50 right now that I'm doing. So,
wow.
Yeah. It's a fun little gig.
It is really cool. Mm-hmm. Then to send them out into the world and it becomes someone else's piece of a collection. That's really cool, man.
And it is. It's a good feeling.
And those are Upper Deck, right? So
Upper Deck. Yep.
Okay.
Almost makes me want to try buying a couple packs.
We'll find an Adam Field exclusive.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
So let's talk about, Randy pointed out that you're part of, what is this now? Like a 12 Days of Christmas books and comics sale?
Yeah, so, all right. I got to pull the event up so I don't get anything wrong. So at Nickel Plate Arts over in Noblesville, Indiana, Stuart Sager and Gavin Smith and I, we're all sort of coming together, and it's a two-part event. Basically, it's to promote the art center, because this art center, it does so many things for the community and for the art scene as a whole. They host an event for, it's called Comic Book in a Day, where you have 9 hours to complete like 4 pages of a short story that you have to create on the spot. And it's just a fun event that, you know, sort of promotes comic books and, you know, storytelling. So they bring in as many different artists and stuff as they can. Well, this one, they're just bringing us three, and we are going to be doing demonstrations on site. Stuart, Gavin, and I'm doing the art of the sketch card. So I'll be working on cards there while, you know, the general public can walk through and sort of see what we're working on and ask questions. And we kind of get to talk to younger artists or maybe someone who's looking for a career change, or even if they're just a hobbyist, they want to just sort of hone in on their skill. They get to sort of ask us questions. That's going to be happening from 3 to 7 PM at their facility. Then at 7 o'clock, we're shutting and locking the doors. We're locking everybody out. And we're going to do our first ever live sell, meaning we're going to lay out our prints and books and we're going to go live. And you get to mix and match prints from Stuart and Gavin or myself, books from all of us. And it's going to be a good time. So that's going to be 8 to 10.
I guess I don't understand the last thing there, the mix and match. What exactly is this again? I'm sorry, I don't understand the details.
No, it's all right. So pretty much, you know, have you ever seen someone do like a live auction on Facebook? Or they have stuff set up and people are, you know.
I see what you're saying. Yeah. I see what you're saying. Okay, yeah. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, so we're all going to have our prints. We're going to have books that we've all created. And they're going to be laid out on the table. We're going to just pan across them nonstop. And they're all going to be numbered. So, like, I think my letter is B. So you get to say, I want B1. And we grab that print for you. And we set off to the side. And then you can sort of get something from Stuart, you can get something from Gavin, you can get something from me, and it all ships together. So wow. We're offering, yeah, and they're all going to come off. We're offering signatures with COAs for $5. We'll even offering remarks for $40. So you can not only just get the book, but we'll actually remark it before it gets shipped out. Yeah, and then there's going to be a special price, I believe, on prints, but I'm not sure what that will be at this moment in time. But all that will be posted here in the next week. But yeah, it's going to be a big learning curve, but I'm super excited for the sale, because it's people that can't make it to cons or can't make it out. We're going to kind of bring the con to you.
Yeah, that's really cool. Awesome. That's nice. A good idea.
And you get to talk with us, which is even better. It's not like they're putting our stuff up and that's it. No, we're actually going to be talking to anybody who comments and everything. So, and if you've not talked to Gavin or Stuart, they are very charismatic people, very fun and energetic. And Stuart is actually one that sort of kind of held my hand and got me to this point. He was kind of like my little mentor. So it's kind of cool to be alongside of him and Gavin now.
That is really cool, man. I've never really heard of anything like that. Yeah. You know, especially like the, and maybe it's something that happens all the time, but, you know, shutting the doors and doing the pan over so people can, I mean, I'm not technologically advanced, you know, I don't use Facebook very often or at all for that matter. So
I've seen that a lot with like LuLaRoe leggings and stuff.
Yeah, I've seen that too.
But, I see.
It's not going to be like that.
I didn't think it was.
We're not going to go, hey, girl, hey. No, we're not doing none of that. All right. My wife, she dreads the, hey, girl, haven't talked to you in a while messages on Facebook. She immediately just blocks and deletes them because that's all they are, direct sale stuff.
Yeah. No. Blame her. Yeah.
Right?
Very good. So that's December 5th from 3 to 10, December, right? Yeah.
Yep, December 5th over at Nickel Plate Art. That is 107 South 8th Street, Noblesville, Indiana. That's for the location from 3 to 7. And then 8 to 9, you guys can tune in Eastern Standard Time.
For the lives auction, essentially.
For the live auction. Really cool.
That is awesome. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, best of luck to you guys with that.
Thank you.
Sounds like it's going to be a really, I wish we were closer.
Yeah. Hey, just tune in.
Cool. Yeah. Pop. Yeah, we could tune in via.
Be like we're right there.
Yeah, tag your guys and say, hey, we're guys from the podcast, you know, the Candair, because we, you know, I did talk to Stuart about it, and unfortunately he was busy today, so that's why I sort of said, yeah, I'll be happy to come and talk about the event.
Awesome.
Yeah, well, that's definitely awesome. I, again, wish we were freaking closer.
Yeah, we'll see you at Torgs. I mean, you're going to be one of our...
I am. I'm excited for that. I've already started working on my 2020 schedule, and it's filling up very quick, so I'm glad that I got in on that one early on.
Well, I got your Twitter handle at AdamFields127. Is that still the same?
That is correct.
Very good. And for people wanting to check more about this, the 12 Days of Christmas sale thing you guys have going here, should they go to your Facebook? Is there another place they should be directing?
So they should probably just go ahead and follow Nickel Plate Art over on Facebook. But I am going to be sharing the crap out of this event on the Art of Adam Fields page on Facebook the closer we get to the show.
Awesome. Awesome. And then we'll have to shoot us tweets and links, and we'll help push that out, man.
Absolutely.
Adam, it has been a pleasure having you back, and you are always welcome on this show, my friend.
Thank you.
Jack, what do we have on the website?
Go to cannedairpodcast.com, where you can see show highlights, listen to the show, follow us on all our social media, buy some merch, become a patron, see some YouTube videos, and if you'd like to be a guest and promote your work, send us an email on our contacts page.
And once again, you can find us on Twitter at CannedAirPod and on Instagram at Canned_Air. And for $5 a month, you get access to the Canned Air Patreon pod. Just go to patreon.com/CannedAirPod, or you can just follow that handy little link on the website Jack was just talking up there. And did you say something about Wizard World? You Bay Area people out there, if you're going to that Wizard World con out there, the last of the year, use Canned Air in the promo box at checkout to get a cool 10% off your ticket price. You can't beat that.
going on this weekend, the first or the weekend after Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Yeah. I always forget that this is always out there and always streaming.
Yeah.
Things I said are only going to be relevant for a few days, though. So what else do we have? Anything?
So if you guys need more of a podcast fix and looking for something a little bit more intellectual, check out these guys at What If. Their podcast that I'm not on, that I always plug.
He does. He's good at plugging it. So yeah, our other show, What If.
For something.
If you search What If series in your podcast player choice, or just search Candair Productions, you'll find this show and our other show, What If, with me, myself, Jack, and our other co-host, Ryan Little, who every, what, 2 or 3 weeks or so, we put another one out there where we just look at a twist on reality. What if Bigfoot had been found? What if
vampires were real?
Yeah, when one's about to be put out. So what if the Earth just stopped spinning one day?
That was a good one.
Yeah. Dire, isn't it?
Yeah, really. Bet you can't figure out what happens.
We did. But head over to whatifpod.com, or again, search What If series or Candair Productions in your podcast player of choice. And either way, you should get to the show that way. And I think that's going to do it for this week. So until next time, I am Jeremy Colley.
I'm Jack Doherty.
I'm Randy Hardenbrook.
And I'm Adam Fields.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
Oh no!
Don't run, it'll only make things worse!
Mutt!
Remember, you never want to approach a stray dog, especially one that's foaming at the mouth. Get away from the animal as quickly as you can and tell a grown-up. And knowing is half the battle. G.I. Joe!
And then we're going to turn that. Very weird indeed.
The Korean War has sadly been known as the Forgotten War, but half a century earlier, the United States was locked in a bloody conflict in Asia that's been all but erased from the history books. Hi, I'm Alex Hasty, the host of Ohio Versus the World, an American history podcast on the Evergreen Podcast Network. In our newest episode, we speak to experts about the Philippine-American War, America's first Asian counterinsurgency conflict. The heroes, the villains. We'll discuss President McKinley, Admiral Dewey, the vicious brutality of the fighting, and the scandals and war crimes that nearly sunk Theodore Roosevelt's presidency. Check out our show, Ohio Versus the World, on the Evergreen Podcast Network for our new episode about America's most forgotten war. Now back to the show.